I want to start by turning to James 1, verse 2. James 1, verse 2 through 3, a very well-known scripture. And in verse 2 it reads, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials." And verse 3, "Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience," or develops patience. Many in God's church today are experiencing trials. I've heard several messages in the past several months about this specific topic. Some in the workplace, direct related to the Sabbath or holy days, and others experiencing health-related trials, whether mental, physical, or both. But as God's people, we all experience trials in one form or another. And when reflecting on past or current trials, how often do we pay attention to how our initial reaction or frame of mind is going into that trial? We know God chastens them who he loves, and so we all welcome trials with open arms, right? Or do we, through our actions, sometimes say, "Please don't love me so much," and like the ancient Israelites, want deliverance without enduring? Interestingly enough, I've never met anyone who found it difficult to be thankful, relieved, and find joy when the trial's over or after the fact. You know that moment of, "Whew, I'm sure glad that's over." When the stress and pressure and anxiety are in the rearview mirror, but during the trial, it seems uncomfortable, maybe even painful, depending on the trial. Paul, over in the book of Hebrews, expressed exactly this. And you can jot this down in your notes, but this is in Hebrews 12, verse 11. I have a marker there, so I'll read. Hebrews 12, 11, it says, "Now no chastening seems to be joyous for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward, it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it." The process of enduring and persevering through trials is an essential part of a Christian's life. The process of testing our faith is absolutely necessary for our training and growth as future kings and priests. Something we know we can't just walk away from, and neither should we want to. So what can we change? We can change how we react to trials, how we learn, and how we grow through them. It's easy to pray, thanking God after a trial's over. And how often do we pray while in the trial, in the eye of the storm, sometimes when things seem to calm down, thanking God for being given the trial? I thought about this topic quite a bit recently as I myself, like many of you, found myself in the middle of a trial. Earlier this year, my wife and I came home from work one day in the evening and found that our house was extremely cold inside, and this was right in the middle of winter. I remember while standing in the kitchen, we both blew hot air out of our mouths, thinking we could see our warm breath as it hit the cold air in front of us. You know, typically we keep our home 69 to 70 degrees. So my first thought was, did our power go out? It's extremely cold in here. We checked the thermostat to ensure it still had power and was set to heat, which it was. And after, walked into the garage where our furnace, to my surprise, was actually on. And just about that same time, my wife began asking some really great questions about who, what, when, why, and so on. And that's when I knew I was in trouble. Myself having absolutely no background or knowledge in HVAC systems, I did what any self-respecting husband would do in that scenario to ease her mind. I confidently said, "Well, it's probably something simple." Well, she walked away and Soon as she did, I quickly began searching the internet for answers on furnace troubleshooting. As it turns out, our furnace did quit working after all. Well, long story short, I narrowed down our furnace issues, or so I thought, down to three sensor failures. Two of which I was able to source at a local dealer, with the third not in their inventory. I searched the internet for the third, which I actually found one, thousands of miles away, as it would turn out, across the United States. And once I ordered it, was really excited and thought, okay, this is it. We're going to have this back up and running. We'll have heat. Only to receive an email letting me know that the part was now actually back on back order for the next 3 months. So I quickly replaced the two sensors I had, hoping for the best. However, no changes and now out of options. The next day, I quickly began calling HVAC companies in the local area, because surely in the middle of winter, there must be a technician available to come out and troubleshoot, right? Well, as circumstance would have it, every company was booked out several weeks, and that was even for emergency calls. So you can imagine my state of mind right then. I think the only scripture that could accurately describe my unfortunate frame of mind at this time was James 1 verse 20. And that reads, "For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God." You know, sometimes we think, well, this is such a small matter. I don't want to bother God with this. But the reality is God wants us to rely on Him not only in the great things, but also in the small things that we may easily overlook. Relying on God means realizing that we do not all have the answers, and realizing that we're always in the need of His help, His guidance, and His direction. And maybe the most important is realizing that everything will be done according to His timing, which in itself, during trials, produces that patience and character, because many times the patience to endure a trial is what is tested the most. After several humbling days without heat for my wife and I, outside of the oven door open when we came home till we went to sleep, and a portable heater which moved around with us as we traveled through the house, upstairs and downstairs, I remembered getting on my knees and asking, "Father, what do you want me to learn in this trial?" Clearly my attempts to take matters into my own hands for the umpteenth time was failing miserably. It wasn't until my focus was not on what I could do, but rather relying on what God could do, did the situation begin to be resolved. And that should be always our attitude and focus when we find ourselves in any trial, and not as a last resort, which many times can be the situation, and I'm speaking for myself. So after the prayer, I quickly remembered a flyer that we received in the mail from a local HVAC company. And it's amazing how God always gives us exactly what is needed at precisely the right time. So after several minutes of searching for the flyer, I asked my wife where she had placed it. And she laughed and said, "Yep, it's outside in the recycling bin," as if it wasn't cold enough. So I ran out, brought the flyer back in, and dialed the number. However, this time, with the understanding and mindset unlike those I had during the first several calls, this would be 100% relying on God's timing, no matter how cold or uncomfortable the situation. Well, to sum up the situation, not only did the company come out to our home on short notice, on our schedule, but our account was placed directly with the account manager, who just happened to know my wife very well from business dealings, and let us know that because we were friends, they would place a note on our account so that the installation date of our new furnace would be placed on the top of the list, reducing our wait time by over a month. None of it by happenstance. God is not random. There is a godly purpose for each and every trial that we face. His decisions are very precise and always for our own good and growth. And when we understand the purpose of God's trials, we can begin to change our perspective, focusing on trials with a godly perspective. I want to briefly look at one area in which we can find joy when we find ourselves in a trial. We can find joy in a trial knowing that trials build godly character or spiritual maturity. From the day we're baptized, we started down the road of spiritual maturity. God's character is required to progress and required to build and develop spiritual maturity. Remember, of ourselves, we cannot build God's character or refine God's character. God is the one who develops that in us. And it's that spiritual maturity that allows us to live a way of life that shows Him how much we truly love Him versus the world, sin, and the way of Satan. So, brethren, in conclusion, the next time we find ourselves in a trial, knowing there will be obstacles and struggles and difficulty, let's be encouraged, knowing that God is still willing to work with us. The fact that we are in a trial shows us He loves us and is still building character that will last for eternity. Let's remember to get ourselves out of the way, as that's a great way for things to start going the wrong way when we put ourselves first. We must approach trials in a way that strengthens our reliance on Him to deliver us, no matter how long we must endure, and not grow weary. Because let's face it, we're in this for the long term, eternity. Let us encourage and pray for one another, knowing that we are all experiencing trials, growing and maturing spiritually together, relying on God to fight our battles, not taking matters into our own hands. Let's begin to focus on trials in a godly perspective, thankful and counting it all joy.